Australian Linux users. This South Australian Linux hacker is, of course, Paul Rusty Russell. When he was at CLUG in 1998, Rusty was most convincing. There were more delegates from Canberra at CALU than from any other state or territory, which is kind of strange considering, you know, we're 400,000 people here. So, and that was back in 1999. We missed having a conference in 2000, and then in Sydney, we had a conference in 2001, thanks to the cool guys from Slug. Dave Miller came back and, you know, continued to make the brains melt out our ears. Andrew Morton came along and presented a really cool talk about low latency Linux, which I believe annoys Jeremy a little bit. So anyway, Tridge and Jeremy did a keynote, wowed the audience with Samba details, which is pretty impressive when you think about Samba internals. And then, you know, in Perth the next year, 2003, Linus actually came out to linux.conf.au, and Adelaide, 2004, Linus returned to be dunked. He did tell everyone that he would only come out again that year if he was dunked in a dunk tank, because he's been asking for that at conferences for years and no one would do it. The Adelaide guys did it. It was great. And, you know, other cool stuff such as Damien Conway, continuing the Linux... Yes, Linus is almost here this year at the conference. So yes, you're quite welcome to try and have a conversation with Linus. He may not be particularly talkative, but, you know, he's saying one or two things. So, you know, everyone can sort of cheer on Tux here. Cheer on Linus. Thank you, Tux. Oh boy, what's he going to do? Penguins are dangerous. Maybe I should be scared. Scott, the first thing that came to my mind was this picture of the majestic penguin, and the rest is history. And, you know, as Lena says, don't take the penguin too seriously. It's supposed to be a kind of goofy and fun. That's the whole point. Linux is supposed to be goofy and fun. I would like to suggest the same for linux.conf.au. It's supposed to be goofy, fun. Don't take it too seriously. Just have a... And, you know, what's with all... This was actually seen, overheard in Union Court here at ANU a few days ago. What's with all the posters of penguins around? We all know. And, you know, linux.conf.au is a roaming conference. The location roams around Australia. And if CALU is a good example, linux.conf.au roams also in time. On this note, I decided to run linux.conf.au to view. And, you know, Trish said he'd be here this year too, which is good to know, considering, you know, he's like 5k away where he lives. And, you know, he does have 5 or 6 conferences to attend this, you know, next week or so. But, you know, he's here, which is great. And, yeah, I'd like to thank our Tux sponsor this year, IBM. And we have HP sponsoring the conference again this year as our Emperor sponsor. Once BDAL told the rest of HP how good linux.conf.au was, they were keen to support the event. With their support of linux.conf.au last year and this year, the conference has been able to constantly improve its standing in the Linux community and make it more fun to boot.
So I'll start off, I've got about an hour of slides about open source philosophy for you here. So I really like this program that we've been sponsoring for the last couple of years, flying people into wherever the conference is happening, and steering committee, and you may applaud at any point. Very good. Then there's Bernd Alting, he's a local from ACT. He's been working with Unix and open source since 1978, filing bug reports and generally being a good guy in the community. There's Ben Martin from Queensland. He's the author of the LibFerris virtual file system project, and he's recently been adding in desktop capabilities to that. There's Kylie Willison from South Australia, and Kylie is a volunteer using Then there's Gordon Hayden, also from Victoria. Gordon is contributing to Drupal, to Debian, and to a host of other projects, and he's been active in the Linux community for 9 years, which is quite an achievement in itself. We have Trent Lloyd from Western Australia here, and he's one of the younger members of the community and source to a variety of companies in New Zealand, and we're very pleased to have him here. So hopefully those 10 people are here. Could you give us a wave from wherever you are so we can just recognize you? Lovely. And so the winner of the randomly selected prize, I have to emphasize this is that we couldn't pick between these 10 folks. And with that, I'll hand back to Tux or to Stephen or to whoever's on next.
Thank you, Sun, for the RDP support. So we have a few prizes to hand out during the conference to the delegates here. However, we did stipulate that it has to be handed out to delegates, so only people with the yellow badges. One good question maybe to ask Jeremy Allison what it is like to live in Canberra, for example. We thought it would be cool to be able to hand out a few large cool prizes as lucky draws to the delegates. So I rang up our Tux sponsor, IBM, and asked if they would be able to give us 4 IBM X40 ThinkPad laptops for us to hand out, one per day. Tux is holding 1 IBM X40 ThinkPad. Oh! It looks like Jim wants it. Oh, Tux is quite interested in this. Fortunately, I do have a backup. Because Jim Watson was not here to see this, is Martin Shepherd in the room? I'd like to ask one of my organisers to go and get another random number. Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, we might need a few. You know, I think the key is very small 1 gig USB keys. So hopefully 47 of the people in this room will be happy to have one later in the conference. Bribe your speaker, I don't know.
What's it like to live in Canberra?
Is Jeremy Allison here by any chance?
Back up.
Okay, an IBM ThinkPad X40, care of IBM, William Patrick Leslie. Great. Jeremy might be running up and sit up.
You have 20 minutes to install the stuff. Take it back.
We were wondering if maybe we should say you have to get Linux running within 24 hours, but we do have a network boot server, so you can install Ubuntu or similar rather easily on this laptop. Happened on Friday. So we'll update the web program this morning, and we'll have new programs along the doors of each theatre. Please check the program before Friday so you know what's changed. One, Mark Shuttleworth has agreed to replace Jimmy Zanendis. Mark will talk about his space flights and Canonical and other such cool stuff. Andrew Tridgell will replace Wim Coke. I strongly suggest attending another tutorial. Yep, PHP is next door. Ravens would love to have you. And also, please listen to the tutorials and presentations during the conference to bring you another great linux.conf.au. So we have Tony, Spreadsheet Technology Breeds, Jeremy, Territorial Database Primate Kerr, Bob, mobile wireless hotspot Edwards. Michael, still but still. Chris, no more cranks, yo. Ali Russell. Andrew, LCA.deb Pollock. Rusty, the LCA.
Linux. The slides are ready. Why don't you introduce us while we're thinking, preparing.
Alrighty. So I have the pleasure of introducing two people who don't actually need to be introduced, which is kind of cool because it means I can make it up as I go along. So I believe there's this Rusty guy and this Robert guy giving a tutorial on kernel hacking today, which I think is just the second edition's come out recently here. Don't know about in the US. Cool. So I've really run out of things to say because they don't really need to be introduced, but the amazing Rusty and Robert show.
But we were super bad. No, I don't have a copy of the slides.
Who has installed QEMU with the patch and got downloaded the kernel source and done everything? And who hasn't? Yeah, okay. There's always one. Okay. Because we only have 6 hours, which sounds like a long time until you actually look at the amount of crap we have to teach you to write a driver. You should be able to disable sound. Less.configure. And the instructions will be contained therein. Yeah, but if your sound blows up the machine.
No statics, also developer.
Right.
Thank you. There we go. Okay, let's do this.
So after that refreshing break, you'll have a chance to unwind after that exciting introduction.
We're just giving you time to finish your homework.
Yeah. This is what we're going to talk about. Right. Now, Robert and I have never presented together, and we've never given this tutorial before, and we didn't know how stupid you were.
It is.
Okay.
Why is this value in his registers?
Okay. Did you unplug the drive?
Yeah.
It crashes it. It crashes it to unplug the drive. Yeah, this is Linux USB. Come on. I'm not bitter at all. Okay. So we're going to have a little bit of an introduction, and then we're going to write our first kernel module. We're going to kind of dive straight into it. Right? You can do some speak.
Okay. I don't have a mic. Do you have a mic?
You just yell it to me.
So Linux kernel, it's pretty big. Roughly 18,000 files. 15,000 of those is source. Supports approximately 24 architectures. So it's a lot of code. But at the same time, a lot of this code is in parts of the kernel you might not care about in any given moment.
Like USB.
There's a copy of the book. You can see how lovely it is. A lot of it is in architectures that you may not be using. A lot of it may be in drivers. So in any given moment, the amount of code that you're interested in might not be that much, as we see today.
Yeah.
So, are
you good? Yeah.
So we have this directory structure, blah, blah, blah.
You want to go into what you're doing?
Okay, yeah, okay, I'll cover the directory structure. ARC. All the architectures are under ARC. So we have a lot of anything, it's drivers. FS is file systems, include is all the header files. Init is boot-like stuff. IPC is the inter-process communication, so things like system 5 semaphores and shared memory and all that kind of stuff goes in IPC.
Hi, yeah.
Kernel. Yeah. Those people get a huge amount of respect. Yeah, that was last year. This year, it's network hackers. And as you could have seen, there were a couple of other directories. which are not particularly important in today's tutorial. It's on there, yes. The SXI on there is it.
This is progress.
Laptop number three, here we go. Yeah, so scripts and security and crap like that no one cares about. Sound should be under drivers, it's not for various reasons. USR you can pretty much ignore. Okay. Everybody knows about kernel versions. At the top of the great Linux hierarchy believe that we're doing so well with stability in 2.6 that we don't actually need a 2.7 to put experimental features in. They are obviously not here today. Next. Okay, you've done this. You've unpacked. You've done your make.
Fig is a Qt configurator, and xconfig is TK.
Right.
No one uses any of those. Most people edit the config by hand and rerun old config on it.
Because we're men.
It's way easier.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You can do this way.
All right. I'm going to need this mic. So you see, we make a lot of use of GCC extensions. For a long time, we worked on nothing but GCC. A lot of time, we only work on certain GCC versions. That's changed now. I think Intel's done a lot of work, mostly to make their compiler act like GCC, not make the kernel more agnostic to the compiler. But we make extensive use of GNU-C and inline assembly. You blow up. That's what an oops is. Depending on when the oops happens, your machine either dies in a panic or the current application crashes. We have a very small stack. In user space, we're used to having a gigantic stack, and it grows dynamically. I don't think anyone these days even thinks about that.
One exception.
Or even better, come up with a solution that doesn't allocate a lot of memory. Because memory in the kernel is at a premium because it can't be paged. You have concurrency concerns.
And no recursion, of course, that means, because the limit of stack space.
Yeah. Yeah,
recursion
with threads, you are concerned with the
your other threads. Well, in the kernel, no matter what you do, you're concerned with a lot of crap. You have interrupts that can occur at any time. You also have software interrupts that can occur at any time. If you're running in process context, which is if the kernel is executing on behalf of another process, you can be preempted at any time. If you have an SMP machine, you have other processors. I had to get into the kernel for 17 years now.
I'll just hit you on the back of the head.
Yeah.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah, we're not.
It's user space, dude. It's
we're sitting here on shoestrings right now. And portability is a must when you're a user space.
Okay. Right, so there are basically three ways into the kernel. Right, usually when you look at a program, you start at main to figure out where it goes. Well, the kernel has three ways that it really gets entered. The first one is in init main.c. That is after its various ASM architecture-specific setup occurs on the box. It enters init main.c, and you can read the boot sequence. It will stop what it's doing and run an interrupt handler in the kernel. Right, so these are the three entry points to the kernel. Give you some idea of how it works.
There are absolutely no other ones.
Okay. Right. You did the slide. You can do this one.
Sure. So there's only one legal way for user space application to get into the kernel, which actually isn't system calls, but traps in general, 81, OOX81. And the trap handler for that exception happens to be the system call handler. And so it looks in this predefined register, finds the number, and executes whatever number that system call maps to, which is in ArchI36 kernel entry.s. And you could actually see towards the bottom a long list of numbers and system calls. And then the system, when you write a system call in the kernel, you have to follow certain conventions. One of them is returning negative error codes. User space has this error note crap, and that's all handled by libc. And libc figures out what error note should be based on what the return call is from the system call implementation in the kernel. Return a negative error code. In case is a positive number that denotes some sort of success or interesting value. When a system call runs in the kernel, it's executing in the context of the invoking process. We call this process context or user context. It's basically running as the process, but in kernel space. The code could be preempted. It could sleep.